Historic and doomed. Two words in many British headlines this morning. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The British Parliament votes today on terms for leaving the European Union, but Prime Minister Theresa May is expected to lose that vote. Her opponents say her deal gives the EU too much control over Britain for too long. A defeat opens up a big can of worms, including the possibility of an election. But let's back up. What happens today? The BBC's Ian Watson reports.
Brexit has inflamed passions inside and outside Parliament. Today's historic vote will put the Prime Minister at odds with many in her own party. More than 100 of Theresa May's MPs have said they won't support her deal. Mrs May will address her cabinet this morning and the debate will begin at lunchtime. Voting on amendments to her deal will start around 7 p.m. and this process could take some hours. While some of those amendments will aim to scupper her deal, others will attempt to limit the scale of the Conservative rebellion. The Speaker's role will be crucial, as he'll decide which amendments will be debated. But already the talk at Westminster is what happens once the vote is lost. It's expected Mrs May will make her intentions clear immediately after the result, and it's thought likely she'll return to Brussels to renew her calls for further concessions. But if she suffers a particularly heavy defeat, these may not be forthcoming.
Ian Watson there. So that's the politics. How are businesses preparing? Tom Botel is CEO of the British Coatings Federation, which represents paint and ink makers.
We're a £4 billion sector. We represent 150 manufacturers of paints, coatings, printing inks and wall coverings. Pretty much every one of those companies is buying raw materials from Europe. In fact, more than half our raw materials are coming in that way. And also 3 out of 5 of our members are exporters. And over 60% of those exports are going into Europe, so it's our key export market. A typical paint company would use hundreds of different chemicals. Each one has to be registered through the European Chemicals Agency. And if we were to leave with no deal, we'd have no access to that agency.
How have companies in your sector made contingencies so far?
There are potential delays at the border. To try and avoid those delays, our members are building 2 to 4 weeks of extra inventory. That doesn't come without a cost, so we're talking £150 to £300 million in working capital tied up in extra inventory. But it's very difficult to see what else companies can do. They're kind of crossing their fingers and hoping for the best. It's this uncertainty that kills. We're weeks away from Brexit and we don't know what it's going to look like. And you know, many of our members are European-owned, some are US-owned, some are Japanese-owned. From their boardrooms, they're asking our members here, you know, what's going on? When are we going to know? And, you know, we don't have answers.
Why not trade outside the EU?
Well, of course, we do already. So 40% of our exports are already going out of the EU. You know, coatings are a relatively low-value product. They're relatively heavy to transport. So proximity matters in our sector. We do export to America. We do export to China. But compared to what we move around in Europe, it's pretty small at the moment. Longer term, when Japanese and American companies are making their next investment decisions about where to develop and put their factories in Europe, unfortunately, in a no-deal Brexit, it's not going to be the UK.
Tom Botel there. Let's do the numbers. The British pound is steady as investors await the outcome of that Brexit vote. Meanwhile, global stocks are broadly higher. Germany's DAX is holding on to gains, while the euro is lower after fresh figures show that while German growth hit a 5-year low in 2018, the economy likely avoided a recession. To France now, and the grand debate being launched today by President Emmanuel Macron to address the recent yellow vest protests. They erupted in November over high fuel taxes before turning into a revolt over inequality. Now, some protesters are suspicious of these debates.
It's a smokescreen. The questions being debated will be ones that he chooses, not us. So what's in it for us?
I'm not necessarily against it, but I'm not sure it's the best solution. There's already plenty of demands out there. You don't need a debate to know what we want.
Well, Sophie Petter, Paris bureau chief at The Economist magazine, explains how the debates will work.
It seems to be a mix of online forums. You can also take part in town hall debates across France. And then there are also going to be stands set up in markets, in shopping centres, in railway stations where you can write down what your complaints are. At this point, it quite is a potentially unmanageable exercise because you are going to possibly have millions of detailed responses. And I think the big challenge for President Macron is how on earth, at the end of the day, he deals and handles with all those requests in a way that is coherent with his underlying philosophy.
So why are the yellow vests still out in the streets?
Right at the beginning, all they really wanted to protest against was the rise in an environmental tax on fuel at the pump. But it's broadened out into all sorts of discontent about the level of wages, the way in which government doesn't consult anymore, that is very sort of top-down, hierarchical, authoritarian form of government. And it's protests against Emmanuel Macron, the president himself. So there are some people on the streets who won't be happy until and unless he resigns and/or sort of dissolves the National Assembly. So this is what makes it a quite difficult movement to negotiate with, because there isn't a very clear list of things that people want.
So did it make any difference when President Macron announced this 10 billion euro package to boost people's income?
I mean, I think it was the first time and people felt he was actually listening, that he really had grasped how serious and widespread this protest movement was.
What about the far left and the far right? Have they gained from these protests?
Each of the leaders on each side of the spectrum would see that they share both sort of values and also some of the policies that are advocated by those on the streets in France. But what's interesting is that the Yellow Vest movement right at the beginning said it didn't want leaders. It doesn't want to be part of anything it considers to be the establishment or the system. In a way, you've sort of moved on to the point where even the extremist politicians in France are considered part of the problem.
Sophie Petter, finally news that China's Hebei province may give workers Friday afternoons off to boost consumption in a slowing economy. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.